This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Chris Regal is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm with business on all the major continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage and other pieces of the digital universe. We are addressing right now China. China and technology are hand in hand because it is the stated intention of the Chinese Communist Party, represented by Xi Jinping, the president of the country, though he's never had anyone vote for him, to my knowledge, that the way for China to go forward is to recapture manufacturing, especially at the high end. Electric vehicles, artificial intelligence, quantum computing, space sciences, the high end, so that the world will come knocking on China's door one more time as it did in the early 21st century. Chris, a very good evening to you. You have business in China. You have business on all the major continents. And it would appear to state, as we begin 25, that the Chinese Communist Party's idea of extracting its economy from a hole that looks a whole lot like a very severe recession is to do what they did in the past, to dig the hole deeper in manufacturing, to count on the world coming to China's markets because there's nowhere else to go. Is that roughly the scheme out of Beijing? We're going to do again what we did in the past, despite the fact that the results have been disappointing. Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. I believe in China, Mr. Xi is facing the problem that while you can create more and more manufacturing capacity and enable more and more ability, if the demand is not there from the rest of the world for China, then you're stuck. And Mr. Xi, I believe, has some very smart economic analysts below him, but not necessarily seems to be listening to them. Mr. Xi, during the pandemic, alienated a lot of global corporations who started to diversify from China. You're seeing that more and more heavily in tech, in apparel, in multiple different market sectors. And the Chinese domestic economy is now off by predictions as much as a third, with the property crash and the wipeout of Chinese savings, the latest attempt by China to inject money into the stock market and try to pump the stock market up has failed. So Mr. Xi's really caught between a rock and a hard place at the moment.
Wall Street Journal publishing a piece in these last days. China's property meltdown has since 2021 destroyed around $18 trillion of Chinese household wealth, according to an estimate by Barclays, eclipsing the losses suffered by Americans in the financial crash of 2008-2009. That suggests we're looking at something that has no precedent in modern terminology, that China is now in a recession and that there are very few ways to work yourself out of a recession except for allowing companies to go out of existence, to build bad banks, similar to what happened in 2008-2009, to come out of that recession by taking all the bad assets, putting them together and selling them on the bond market as risky but possibly good returns. Is China capable of a remedy like that, the whole package to declare itself in recession and go to the regular ways out of a recession, the way that we would do it in America, the way they do it in Europe?
In a simple answer, no. Mr. Xi has been the last 3 years working to try to bring outside capital into China, but the Chinese do not have the capital internally, nor do they have the domestic GDP to be able to pull out of this tailspin. So unless external investment in China increases, unless external liquidity coming into China increases, the Chinese have a substantial problem economically, demographically. This is a real problem. And John, when you understand that in China, where most Chinese do not invest in the stock market and housing is their singular investment opportunity, that large loss that the Chinese suffered because of the property crash is much more painful to the average Chinese than it was in the U.S. during that same tumultuous time. So it's a real problem.
I have been told over these last months by people who once employed large staffs in China are now relocated into the U.S., that their former employees are calling them up looking for work, that what was $100,000 income equivalent or something in the six figures is now unemployed or unemployable. Have you heard the same story? Well-educated Chinese without work?
You're certainly seeing kind of a deflationary challenge within China, where with fewer newer projects starting, fewer, less and less demand, you have people in China that are displaced from work that have never seen this or never experienced this before.
And the remedy that China looks to be implying is a version of what I presented at the beginning of my remarks, which is what we did before will work again. Is there a reason for them to believe that? I note the Wall Street Journal points to the EV market, but that is very contentious. Is there anything else going on except for we'll sell them what we dump on them and they won't refuse us?
No, John, I think the fundamental challenge Mr. Xi faces here is that the old playbook doesn't work now. And because there were so many bridges burned during and directly post-COVID, that China has now gone from the best place on earth to do business for manufacturing into one of the key markets, but not the exclusive. And you're seeing that diversification take money directly out of investment from China on a global basis.
Tariffs. Mr. Trump entertainingly says it's the most beautiful word in the language. Well, we set that aside for show business. We come to tariffs and the talk of imposing tariffs on China, not only from the United States colorfully, but also from the European Union. Tariffs on certain products or on certain industries. The puzzle here is, are they needed? China's in trouble without the tariffs imposed. They have no plan to grow themselves out except for to sell us stuff we don't want and can manufacture elsewhere. Are the tariffs needed in any fashion? Can China be sinking faster than it is now?
So, John, the tariffs are probably needed in select industries as opposed to a full broad-based tariff. In the select industries specifically that impact U.S. and Europe, I'd look at auto specifically. When you're in a business and you're competing against a state-owned enterprise, as you do against many industries in China, there is no possible way for a commercial company to be able to compete on a long-term basis because they just do not have the resource. So selective tariffs make perfect sense. Blanket tariffs may be a little bit more questionable.
And then we come to the question of what is to be done, that property crater that they created. Is there any other way to work it out except for people to accept their losses and bad bank it the way, say, General Motors did in 2008? Is there another way?
John, none visible at the moment. The Chinese may try to nationalize it, create some sort of a bond or a way to pay it off. But there's two big challenges. One, a lot of that money is now gone. Those assets have no value. That money has been smuggled out of China or spent, but it does no longer exist. The cash is gone. Number two, demographically, the demographics are now starting to really hurt that Chinese marketplace, where you could consume those housing units if you had a growing population. The Chinese population is now starting to shrink. So that's a mid to longer term problem, but there is no short term fix for this. That property market for years and years was simply a way for Chinese to launder money out of the country from the governmental side. And now that those chickens have come home to roost.
Why this matters, how it connects to the U.S. economy. Without China growing, Chris, does the U.S. have a workaround? Does Europe have a workaround to maintain our growth?
So, John, we always have options, whether that be Malaysia, Indonesia, Mexico, Canada. The opportunity from the demand side is that you can move production to other markets. Now, the pricing may be different. The economics might be slightly different. But there's always an opportunity to produce in other countries. May not be as efficient, but it's still doable. Longer term, the U.S. can survive without China, but China cannot survive without the U.S.
And the Chinese consumer, any indication whatsoever that he and she want to participate in reviving the economy?
Absolutely not. Chinese consumers are profligate savers. And with all of the disruptions in the market, they're trying to save an even greater pace because they fear uncertainty.
And the U.S. investor class, finds China very cheap. But that old saw from the old days, you can't catch a falling knife. Does that apply to China today?
John, I would say for the next 4 years, I would not, as a U.S. investor, bet against Mr. Trump in China policy. Money will continue to flee China for the next 4 years at least.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the major continents, including East Asia. He is also my guide to how commercial thinking applies itself to China, not geopolitical, not conflict over Taiwan or the South China Sea, but commercial. And China right now is in trouble, and it won't do anything to save itself.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.